You're listening to the Today's Conveyancer podcast, the leading source of information for residential property lawyers in England and Wales. Don't forget to subscribe and sign up to our free newsletter at todaysconveyancer.co.uk. You can also follow us on LinkedIn and Twitter.
Hello, welcome along to the latest Today's Conveyancer podcast. Today we're chatting about surveys, and who better to talk about them with than Rachel Griffiths. Rachel is the Head of External Operations and Panel Management at SDL Surveying. It's great to have you join the podcast, Rachel. Thank you very much indeed.
Thank you. Thanks for having us, Dale. Thank you for having me.
We're going to talk about surveys. We've got quite a lot to get through, but in the first instance, I'd be really interested to hear a little bit more about yourself. I know you've been with the business for a few years now. So tell us who you are and what you do.
Yeah, well, thank you. I am, like I say, Rachel Griffiths, as you've kindly introduced myself. I've been working with SDL Surveying for 7 years, with the group itself for 10 years. And I have, I've been working in the property industry for over 25 years now. So quite a depth of knowledge. As you quite rightly said, I'm head of external operations and panel management, which really my responsibility is about delivering high quality panel management for our surveying business. We are a residential surveying business, so all of our products and our customer service journey is shaped around either lender valuations, so, you know, mortgage valuation work, or home surveys. You know, we're very much focused on delivering around the RICS home survey standards for home surveys. What does that mean? Well, ultimately it means I'm responsible for finding a home for every single job that might come into our business. So that's in the region of 220,000 mortgage valuations last year, and we'll probably do about the same this year. So although the market is decreased, we have increased our allocations market share this year. So that's why our number for 2023-2024 for valuations will be pretty much the same. And then for home surveys, so level one, level two, level three surveys for a purchaser, we carry out approximately 50 to 60,000 of those, but we're looking to grow that market share in this business too.
A useful introduction. Thank you very much indeed. I suspect that having been in the industry for as long as you have, that you've seen lots of these cycles come and go. And one of the cycles that we often see talked about quite frequently is this delineation between valuation surveys and home surveys. How can we get home movers to actually do a proper investigation of something that for most is going to be the biggest thing they'll ever acquire? You had some stats, I think we were just chatting beforehand, about the uptake of home surveys, but we still can't get people over the line. And there's a role that conveyancers have got in kind of advising clients as well, isn't there?
Yeah, absolutely. I think it is about education, and it is about there being a misunderstanding of the different type of products in a survey world. So first of all, I think it's confusing that an estate agent will call their lister a valuer. So you've got that in the first instance, and the estate agent will go and do a market appraisal, and they will list the property. And yes, they will give it a market value based on, you know, local Rightmove information or Zoopla information that tells them what's sold in the local area. So they will use that those stats to help with the value. But ultimately, they are listing the property to sell. So that's in the first, that's the first confusion. The next confusion is, for years and years, and, you know, beyond 20, 30 years, a mortgage valuation would take place often with a survey that the lender would have instructed. So as far as the purchaser is concerned, they're having their survey because their lender has sorted that for them. And then now what you've got is you've got most high street lenders, mainstream lenders, have decoupled the survey, so the purchaser's survey, with the mortgage valuation. So there is a little bit of a misunderstanding, a disconnect between that. So a mortgage valuation is a product for the lender. It is a service for the lender. The survey, the buyer survey, is the product for the purchaser. And because the lenders no longer offer that, or most don't offer that, then there was probably a decline in surveys for quite some time because there's this lack of education. So you've got a valuer in an estate agent, but they're not the realista. You've now got a valuer that is a VRS, so an RICS approved valuation surveyor that will go and do a valuation on behalf of the lender. And then you have a surveyor that should be doing a survey for the purchaser. And you, like you said, David, quite rightly, that is the biggest investment that most people will make in their life is their house. So, you know, it's the old adage or the old saying, if you buy a secondhand car, you have, you know, a service. Why don't you have a service on your secondhand house as well? You know, that kind of baffles me that lots of people don't. But I think it's the miseducation in the first instance, or the maybe not the miseducation, the lack of understanding in the first instance. And there are different stats that are flying around. So in 2019, the Royal Institute of Chartered Surveyors, the RICS, carried out a consumer survey on house buying. And I think it was 2,026 people took part in that particular survey. And of that survey, something like 71% of people did have their own survey when they bought a house, but they didn't know what type of survey it was. So again, that kind of like baffles you to the point of, you know, how many people are or aren't having it. But the interesting thing in those statistics is there was a question asked of who informed you about a survey, and 22% said their estate agent. I think 7% said their mortgage broker, 9% said their conveyancer. I might have these stats wrong, but they're thereabouts. Mm-hmm. And 12% went and found it themselves. So so there are some stats out there that share with us about what a purchaser does. But we think, based on 2021 stats, only 20 to 30% of people had their own survey for their own purchase in that year.
I've heard that one before, definitely. Yeah. Am I right in thinking that increasingly lender valuation surveys are done on a desktop rather than actually physically visiting the property as well these days?
Yeah. So technology is amazing, isn't it? But also it changes processes and it changes services. So for a lender, as a panel manager, what our lenders want from us is time to yes to be as quickly as possible, because as you know a lawyer or a conveyancer, once the mortgage offer is, you know, there, that's a big part of that transaction. Yes, they've got all of the searches, and there's a confusing fact as well, isn't it? A search can be called a survey, so there's another survey for you. But of course, conveyance has to pull lots of things together, and we understand that. But a mortgage offer is a really important part of that. So for a lender, a time to yes is key. Now, a desktop, that is something that's been kicking around for a lot of years. You know, I think panel managers have been working with desktop technology for probably 20 years on and off. But certainly through lockdown ourselves, SDL Surveying, we were able to complete all the transactions for our lenders, or most of our transactions for our lenders through that period of time by utilising our desktop technology, which enabled us to offer the service for the lender. And the lender then was really effective and efficient in the lending space. So they were able to write a lot of business during COVID-19 because we were able to help them get those mortgage offers sent out. So the desktop, you know, came about, like I say, a long time ago, was efficient during COVID-19 period, but it was something we were working on anyway. And we estimate that this year, so financial year 2023 to 2024, that, you know, certainly 40%, 40 to 50% of mortgage valuations will be carried out by a desktop or an AVM, an automated valuation service as well. So, it's definitely heading to 50%. I think next year it could be 60 to 70%. So we anticipate the only property purchases that will end up with a physical inspection will be difficult properties to value. So properties with lack of data. So maybe it's a one-off barn conversion in the middle of a, you know, a field. Maybe it's, you know, a house that's been renovated. So the only properties that, you know, we might end up doing a physical valuation for mortgage purposes will be a tricky 10 to 20%. We anticipate everything then will go through the technology.
Well, the knock-on effect of that is that an expert hasn't eyeballed the property?
No.
I don't know. Perhaps it's old fashioned of me to say, but it just feels wrong. Mm-hmm. Should surveys have been mandated?
Well, that's a great question, isn't it? Because I feel the same way, and I would do, because I've got all the knowledge about surveying. So, and I don't have a lack of education in that space. So I get the different types of surveys. But absolutely, you know, a purchaser purchasing their biggest investment. So the lender is bothered about the value of the property and that the property exists and that all the information that you can get from a data perspective supports the value of that property. That's ultimately what the lender is interested in. The person purchasing the property, of course, they want to know that they're paying the right price for it. But most property purchases are an emotional sale. So they're visualising themselves and their families, you know, living and growing up in that property. And actually, to move into a property and not have had an expert go into it and make sure it is fit for purpose, you know, then absolutely for me, it should be mandated. I mean, we tried, didn't we, back in 2006.
Well, yes, as I say, if you've been in the industry long enough, these things are all cyclical.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, there's a responsibility here, though, isn't there? I mean, the lenders have uncoupled the survey. I mean, that's probably the wrong thing to have done. But do lenders have a greater responsibility to their clients, not just the property? And, you know, by extension, do estate agents and conveyancers have a greater responsibility? It's a loaded question, I appreciate.
I agree. I think we've all got a responsibility. You know, I mean, mortgage brokers have had consumer duty. I think it was the 30th of July. They're now expected to make sure with every single transaction they have covered that consumer duty, so that consumer care. You know, estate agents, we know, don't we, that there is law that governs, you know, consumer duty as well, really, or consumer focus for estate agents. And certainly conveyancers, you know, I'm not an expert, but are underpinned by the Law Society, and there's an awful lot of consumer duty care expectation. And I don't think it's difficult either. I mean, I do think, David, there is, with the lack of education, some property professionals that may still feel that a survey could be barrier to sale, because if it uncovers something in the property, then it, all of a sudden there may be a renegotiation or that purchaser might not buy. But actually, from a consumer duty and a consumer care perspective, the estate agent should know what state the property is in. And if they have their eyes opened to that particular property, then they can remarket it in the knowledge of what might come up next time. So it's short-sighted, I think. I believe passionately it's short-sighted that any other property professional see it as a barrier to sale, because ultimately, if you're covering consumer duty and customer care, then you should be offering all of those services that are going to support the best service delivery and transaction for that purchaser.
So go on and share. I don't know whether you've got some best practice or top tips or some ideas that, you know, you clearly very passionate about, Rachel, that kind of have worked for you or have worked as kind of messages for you.
It only has to be a question, really, you know, to your customer, your purchaser, your applicant, whatever the terminology is for the person that's sat in front of you, your client. I think it's our job as the RICS with the surveyors, and our job as a panel manager to help educate those other property professionals. So working with other property professionals through things like Women in Residential Property and Women in Estate Agency, you know, we get to share best practice in those groups, which is really helpful. And there is a definite thirst for that knowledge. So our website, we've just relaunched the SDL surveying website about 3 or 4 months ago, and it is now a brilliant platform for knowledge. So there's a lot of information on there that we didn't have before that I think helps. Yes, the person buying the house, but also the broker, the estate agent, the conveyancer, if they wanted a quick guide or a quick go-to to find some useful information, that is definitely a good sense check. But I think it is for all areas of the business. So for a mortgage broker, there is an expectation for them to cover so much information. but actually just to also say, great news, you've found your property. You know, have you thought about your survey? Have you got your survey book? Can we help you with your survey? I think it's doesn't even have to be a loaded question. It's just a fact find question or a question of interest. Or even at the beginning with a broker, when they're sort of costing out the move for the purchaser, to factor the survey costs in there, I think is really useful for them. Equally with an estate agent, you know, if the estate agent has a really good relationship with their vendor, you know, when you're buying your house, you know, let us help you with your services for your purchase. So again, it's, you know, a simple customer conversation, I think. And then with the conveyancer, when the notification of sale first comes through to the chosen conveyancer, I'm pretty certain it's on the list of questions to ask. I'm just not sure how many conveyancers do give that the time, because certainly within a level two and a level three report for an applicant, there is a legal section in there, and it is more information rather than live support about the property. But it is about your legal advisor will ask you questions about certain aspects of your property, and this report will help you. So I think from a conveyancer's perspective, it is, have you sorted your survey? Because it's really important, and they should have done it three steps prior to that. But if they've not done it, that's kind of your last opportunity, I think, there. And again, that is your duty of care, isn't it?
I'm going to come back to that, because okay. I'd like to ask you something quite directly about that one. But let me very quickly just dive into, you talked about cost. I mean, is there evidence that cost is prohibitive?
Yeah, definitely. There is, again, various surveys around that the RICS asked 2026 people. And that was, if you didn't have your survey, did you spend any money when you moved into your property? Or if you had a survey, did you spend any money? And on average, there was a cost of around about £5,000 that people spend on their property to get it to fit for purpose when they move into the house. So they could have been elements that could have been negotiated before that person moved into the house. Certainly a level two and a level three, if the roof needs looking at, it will identify the roof needs looking at. If the roof needs £5,000 spending on it, and you let your, you know, if the agent lets the vendor know that, then the renegotiation, often, you know, a purchaser and a vendor will meet in the middle, you know, if it's a good negotiation. So the fact that that conversation is never happening, and then the purchaser is moving in and then having to spend that £5,000 minimum on their roof is surely, you know, a positive thing if that conversation had happened sooner. So on average, somebody that moves into a house after exchange and completion spends £5,000 to get fit for purpose. There is about 17% of people that move in that spend £15,000 or more. And a survey is going to cost you a minimum amount of that £5,000. So I'm talking averages of averages, but a level two report on average is about £450 for a house at 280, 300, which is about your average house price in the UK. So if you spend £450 and you save £2,500 or £5,000, then the maths is there in front of you.
Yeah, because there's no way of getting that back. Once the property purchase has gone through, that's it, isn't it?
It is. And that's the bit, you know, with education, I think more with property professionals rather than a consumer, is that, of course, all of your surveyors have professional indemnity insurance. And yeah, there is some feedback that some reports that people see feel like it's just clauses that surveyors are protecting themselves. You know, we're trying to move much more towards a consumer-focused report that is in the language of the consumer, that supports the consumer. But if you moved into a house and a surveyor had been and then identified you needed to spend 20, 25,000 on some retaining structure to help keep your house in one piece, the surveyor is liable.
The point I want to come back to is that this is mission creep. That there are conveyancers listening to this discussion saying, well, look, we already have to deal with this. We already have to deal with that. We have to deal with climate change now. We have to deal with increasing lender requirements, Building Safety Act. Thinking about climate change specifically, there was a really interesting article in Today's Conveyancer a few months ago about the fact that conveyancers obviously aren't climate change experts, and that, you know, in that respect, they need some help with that. And perhaps the surveyor is the right point of call. You know, you've talked about some of the issues that you've identified. How do we integrate the survey better into the conveyancing process? And I know you particularly want to talk about climate impact and retrofit and EPCs. If we'd recorded this a week ago, this would have been a very different conversation, because Mr. Sunak has announced that they're going to water down a number of the energy efficiency plans. But how do we get that better integrated?
There has to be a commitment, not from the property industry, but from the wider construction industry to support on this piece. So is it something like 20% of our carbon emissions are from our housing stock in this country? It might be more, but it's there is a stat there like that. The property sector have to work together on this, but equally the construction sector have to work together on this. SDL Surveying are really focused on this. So we have recently just trained all of our surveyors to be EPC qualified, which is something we've never done. And it isn't a space just EPCs in isolation are going to get into. It's to get our surveying field ready to be able to move into the kind of retrofit space. Our strategy is to look at our level 2 and level 3 surveys, and how do we get retrofit reporting to sit with that? Mm-hmm. And that then would support the conveyancers with, you know, the climate change inquiries or questions that they have to answer. Because if that report demonstrates, first of all, is the EPC rating true? Because we know, don't we, that EPC's been around since 2006, and they've been a bit of a tick box exercise. And they were done because we had to do them, and they were the only part from the home information pack, the HIPs, that remained. So they've continued to be part of the kind of legal process of buying and selling a house. And we don't know how good the EPC ratings are, how true they are, because, you know, it's like I say, no disrespect to people that do EPCs, but I think it's been deemed as a bit of a tick box exercise previously. There is an EPC register which you can go and find out the EPC ratings for a house, and the EPC rating remains fit for purpose for 10 years. But that says nothing about the property, really. It doesn't tell you what you need to do to improve it. It doesn't tell you if anything has been done to improve it. And it's really out of date. So the purpose of getting our surveyors EPC trained in the first instance is that they understand how to report on energy efficiency that way. But then secondly, the retrofit piece, which is an approach to PAS 2035, which is an approach to installation of energy efficiency in our homes, is something that is really progressed. It's a process that is quite far advanced now. So there is all sorts of information to support PAS 2035. And it fits really in the assessor stage with a surveyor. So there is a retrofit advisor, a retrofit assessor, a retrofit coordinator, a retrofit designer, and a retrofit evaluator. So they're the five roles that sit in that approach to insulation. And a surveyor going into a house to do a mortgage valuation, or a surveyor going into a home to do a level 2 or level 3 home survey for a purchaser, is already looking at the house. But what they will have to do is look at the house in a bit more detail, which ultimately would help the conveyancer. So things like a guarantee for windows, I think all that sort of stuff gets indemnified, doesn't really mean much. I might be talking out of turn, but often. Whereas if a surveyor is going in and measuring the windows, checking the windows for the retrofit assessor, there is going to be much more information in that that is going to be useful for the conveyancer, which is going to support climate change. Now, you're right that this existing government right now, and this is my own personal view, so I know I have to, you know, it's not facts. But the existing government right now has made a complete meal of this, has no focus. And, you know, quite honestly, it feels like they're not. Their manifesto for the up and coming election will have very little around climate change and green agenda. I'm pretty certain, and I've read some information to suggest that the opposition will be the other side of the coin. The difficulty we've got in the property sector in our jobs and what we're trying to do, you know, as organisations within particularly conveyancing and surveying, and the lenders as well in financial services, is there is no clear guidance right now. Mm-hmm. So we know what needs to be done because it's obvious, there's so much information and we're getting better at talking about it and believing it. I think you and I said earlier, David, as well, I think it depends on generation and age as well. You know, my son's 26 and him and his friends and his partner, they're very much about, we've got to think about what we do to improve our strategy around saving the planet, climate change and improving the built environment. You know, they're all over that. I think, you know, the younger generation, maybe the older generation aren't so interested, but it is something that isn't going away. So it's something I think the surveying business, our residential surveying business, is really in a prime position to be able to support this, and is definitely part of our business strategy moving forward.
And you've got a conference coming up in December.
Yes, we have. We're December the 1st, Friday, December 1st. It's at the King Power Stadium. And normally our conferences, they're always very well attended. We normally have about 400, 500 people there, largely surveyors, our own staff surveyors, so 130 of those. But also we work with a number of our partner firms, about 150 partner firms up and down the country. So they get a free ticket to attend and come along. And normally we talk very much about the here and now, the today of technical information for them, whereas this year it's going to be very focused on what will the surveying business and the lending business and actually the built environment industry have to do to be on the front foot. Well, probably not front foot's probably gone, but to be thinking about looking forward and supporting climate change through our professional industry.
I suspect that the reality is that most conveyancers have got so much on their plate that surveying just simply falls down the pecking order and therefore doesn't get a huge amount of attention. I think it's great that we've had this discussion. I think it's hopefully really useful to remind the community of the importance of it. So thank you so much for coming on the podcast and sharing some insight, Rachel.
Thank you. Thanks for having me, David. It's been really useful. So and we definitely would like to work more with conveyancers. And just interestingly, though, we do work with conveyancers more now than we ever have done in the past. So I think there is a bit more of a thirst for that knowledge and that information by all of the property sector, but in particular, our conveyancers. So thank you for the invitation to be a part of this.
Well, thank you. We'll make sure that we include some contact details in our write-up.
Yeah.
Today's Conveyancer podcast is available on your preferred podcast provider. It's also available on todaysconveyancer.co.uk. My thanks to Rachel. Thank you as ever for listening, and we'll see you again soon.
You're listening to the Today's Conveyancer podcast, the leading source of information for residential property lawyers in England and Wales. Don't forget to subscribe and sign up to our free newsletter at todaysconveyancer.co.uk. You can also follow us on LinkedIn and Twitter.